Good morning. A bit of a preamble, which is important for me to have in mind, and well, it has been ever since I thought about this, and I just think it's valuable for you to know so you can bear it in mind. Firstly, what I'm going to be sharing is nothing revolutionary, it's nothing new, it's all fairly straightforward. It's much of what all of you, I'm sure, have at times been thinking about, talking about. So there's no great revelation here. I'm just sharing what I've been thinking about recently and currently about life and about me and how life is unfolding around me and in me. The other thing is, I'd like to put my hand on my heart, not my physical heart, but the other heart. I can't do that for two reasons. One, because I don't know where it is. And secondly, because I can't put my hand on my heart and say all what I'm sharing is purely Holy Spirit inspired. Because a lot of it is me. And I don't know if you're like me, but I find it difficult many times to differentiate between what's Holy Spirit inspired and what's me inspired. You know, is it his word, his voice, his ideas, or is it mine? And I've consoled myself, I think, with the thought that it's invariably a mix of both. After all, I've been brought up and taught repeatedly that me and the Holy Spirit live in fairly close proximity to each other. So on that basis, our ideas and thoughts and voices get mixed up. I know some people could say, well, any idea you have will probably come from God in the first place. But I don't buy that, because I think God says you've got a mind of your own, son. So go with it. So the third thing I want to say is I want you to apply what I talk about to yourself. I don't want you to think about me or so much what I'm saying and how it's coming across. I want you to apply it to you. This is my take on stuff. It doesn't have to be yours. But while I'm giving you my take, I want you to consider what yours is. Don't reflect on mine as to whether you like it or don't, you agree with it or you don't. Work out your own take on what I'm sharing about. And when I keep using the word you, I'm not pointing the finger at you. I'm not pushing you into a corner. All I'm trying to do is encourage you to focus on you, on your own. Okay? So what are we going to be talking about? Well, if I could pick on three words, I'll say vision, character, and change. They'll crop up off and on. Vision, character, and change. Now, we all know that the word vision has two sort of meanings, doesn't it? It's what you see, and yet paradoxically, it's what you don't see. So it's what you see physically with your eyes. Okay? Now, a bit of research I did, which I will read, on the subject of vision. Because we're looking at two things here. We're looking at 2020 vision, that's with your eyes, but we're also looking at vision 2020, which is what you see with your imagination, with your mind, with your spirit. I don't mind. It's up to you where you see it. But the first definition of vision is what you see with your eyes. And what I read was this. It's important to note that 2020 refers to 20 feet, which is the distance from which the optician checks your visual acuity. Now, I don't know if you realize you had visual acuity, but you have. It's based on American practice. But us in the UK, we tend to go by 6 metres. So if you ever hear 2020 being referred to as 6'6", that's our version. All right, so let's stick with ours. So your visual acuity is the clarity of your eyesight. The sharpness of what you see. But what's interesting, it only is defined or measured in black and white. It's not about measuring differences in brightness, in colour, or any movement or change. That's kind of important with what we're talking about. So you can see things in black and white, and in some ways, spiritually, obviously that's important. We see things as light and dark, good and evil, death and life, and it's important to look at our lives and the world like that. But we're also meant to see change, movement, different shades of light and dark in the world, different situations. There are changes going on physically and spiritually. And I would suggest God wants us to see things with both eyes, our physical eyes and our spiritual eyes. It is black and white, but it's more than that. So how's your vision? I'll keep asking this. How's your vision 2020? And how's your 2020 vision? What do you see going on around you? And what do you see unfolding? I had this thought the other day. This is another one, an idea which I'm taking credit for. This is nothing to do with the Holy Spirit, so he can keep his hands off this one, please. This is my idea. I had the thought, I was watching TV. No, I wasn't, beg your pardon. God is watching TV with his angels, okay? Now, the program he's watching is 2020 Life on Earth. Now, he's got all the other years, obviously, on his iPlayer, but the one he's looking at is 2020 Life on Earth. He's got three channels on his telly. The first channel is looking at what the world is like, what's going on across the world, different countries, different cities, different towns, different villages, and of course, different people. He's just watching what's going on. Channel two, he looks at what he's up to, what he and the angels are working on, how things are unfolding, how their purposes are being worked out, or if you like, how is the kingdom of heaven unfolding on earth? Because he'll make that happen, whether we like it or not. And channel three, this is you view, literally you view. Channel three is what God can see about you in 2020. Okay, nobody else. As far as you're concerned, his greatest interest in a person on earth is you. So he's looking at channel three and he's looking at you. But how do you see your life story for 2020? We all know it's been a year of rather significant change, more so than usual. We talk about the journey of life. Well, it has been a journey that's kind of stopped, hasn't it? I felt it was like a train, come middle of March when lockdown started, it was as though the train, the journey I was on, stopped. And for most of us, not all of us, we got off the train and had a look around. We weren't going anywhere. All the usual routines and activities of life that kept me moving, kept me going, kept me traveling, all the stuff I was doing, kind of stopped. And I looked around. What's it been like for you for the past 5 months? That's really since lockdown. 5 months? What's it been like for you? How have you spent your time? don't want to get too mathematical, but 5 months is 20 weeks, 140 days, 3,360 hours. Now, if you're thinking, oh, come on, Phil, don't let's get bogged down in loads of numbers. 3,360 hours, what are you talking about? Well, hang on. If you had been given a gift in the middle of March of £3,360, I bet you would have given a lot of thought as to how you were going to invest that and spend it. So how have you spent the gift of 3,360 hours since lockdown started? How have you spent your life? Don't forget, God's going to be watching this. He is watching it on Channel 3. Many folk, it seems, during these last 5 months have been decluttering, sorting out, having a change round, having a dust off, doing things they've never had time to do before. A lot of attention to stuff again, homes and gardens and cars and things. It's all what's around us, but has there been any change, any sort of renewal, any dusting off inside? I understand that God's more interested on what's on the inside than the outside. So, any dusting off there, any sorting out, any change, any renewal? I think for many folk, the change in circumstances has not only led to a change in our behaviour and how we spend our time, but a chance to reflect on life itself. Your way of life changed, and then I think for a lot of people, they thought, what is life actually about? When all is said and done, I think that's a useful expression, when all is said, when all the talking is finished, and when all the doing is done, what is life all about? Is it all about the talking and the doing? So what's changed for you? Any sorting out? Any renewal? One way of describing 2020 is life hit home. And it begs the question, where is home? Where is home? But for most people, we were told to stay home and life hit. For many people, as we're quite aware, death hit as well. There's never been more emphasis on life and death on BBC News than I've ever experienced watching telly. So, it's been a grand opportunity, I think, over the last 5.5 months to actually stop. We've had to, and take stock and have a look around. I love this poem, which I've got here. I won't read all of it to you, but you'll know the bits of it anyway. What is this life if, full of care, we have no time to stand and stare? No time to stand beneath the boughs and stare as long as sheep and cows. A poor life this is, if full of care, we have no time to stand and stare. It's not scriptural, but when I rewrite my version of the Bible, I'm going to put that in because I think that's good. The other thing I think people have been doing, and I'm talking about you, don't forget, all the time, and me, is question the journey that one's life is on. It's interesting, isn't it? In life generally, if you go on a journey or a trip, the most important bit is where am I going? It's not the packing up. It's not the trip. The trip can be important, you know, is it by boat, plane, train, whatever. How long will it take to get there? The most important thing about a journey is the destination. That's the thing that's foremost in your mind. Where am I going? I think an interesting conversation we're going to be having with people over the next many, many months is helping people answer that question, where are you going? Because if life is just for living, if that's what someone says, it's all about living, mate, enjoy yourself. Okay, but when the train stops and you get to the end of the journey, you get off, where are you? Is that it? You hit the buffers and bingo, nothing. So what's this journey of life all about? I think a lot of people have been asking that, and I would suggest I know I have. So do you feel you've been changed over the last 5.5 months? And if so, in what way? How am I supposed to be changed? Don't look this up, let me read it. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 to 12. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, which is the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. I like that last bit. Praise and glory to God, not to me or to you. His praise and glory, not mine. So as I read that through again, I'm going to read it through without reading the Bible and just emphasize these words. Your love. Not somebody else's. Not somebody else on screen. Not somebody else that you listen to on the internet or preaching sermons here and anywhere. Your love overflows more and more. We talked about living waters earlier. Okay. More of it overflowing. But not in somebody else's well, in your well. Your well overflows, and so that you keep on growing. You keep on growing. That means changing. Growing means change. You've got to keep changing in your knowledge and understanding. Why? So that you will know what really matters. What really matters? What really matters? What's most important? What's best? So what really matters? What's important? What's best? He's getting to that because he said, so you live your life holy and pure and blameless, holy as well, being filled with the fruit of your salvation, your righteousness. And he defines that in here, Paul, or in my version of the Bible, your righteous character. At last, we got to the word character. Your righteous character. What really matters? You being filled with the fruit of your righteousness, your righteous character. What's my righteous character? It's what's been produced in me and given to me by Jesus. It's what God created me for in the first place. This prophecy program we're following on a Monday, we've been hearing about that it's identifying in people the real you inside, the God bit in you, the you that God intended, the treasure inside you, the destiny, who you were made to be and how you're meant to live your life. That is the righteous character I believe Paul is talking about. That's what really matters. That's the change that 2020 has been all about, as far as I'm concerned. It's my change in character. The change in circumstances, yes, I know they matter. But it's my change in character and your character that I believe God is most concerned about. After all, God looks on the inside, doesn't he? He does look on the inside. So he wants me to be like Jesus. I'm learning not to be so concerned about talking like Jesus talks or trying to do the stuff that Jesus did. Yes, I know miracles and healing. I want to be involved in all that. But that's not the prime point as far as I'm concerned. That what really matters is I want to be a person like Jesus. Because if I'm like him as a person in character, then I'll talk and do the stuff that he did. Have you experienced much change in character thus far in 2020? Okay, let's move on. What about the rest of 2020? We've got another 4.5 months to go. Here we go, maths again. 18 weeks, 126 days, 3,024 hours. Right, you've got 3,024 hours before it's 2021. What's your vision of 2020? Honestly, what's your vision of 2020? What do you see around you? And don't forget, there's two ways of looking at vision. So what's your vision for 2020? Not just your vision of it, what's your vision for it? And where are you in that? If you're not in the vision, you've got a problem. It can't be your vision unless you're in it. Where are you in your vision for 2020? Has been a real game changer, has it not? I was reminded that in recent years, constantly, I'm aware that Toronto in 94 was a year of significant change, revival, they called it, change. Call it what you will. It was dramatic, and it still is. So what about 2020? It's not been like the Toronto revival, but in some ways, it's as dramatic. Jobs have changed. Schools are changed and are changing. The sporting calendar and the way sport is conducted has totally changed. Hospitality's changed. Shopping has changed. Transport's changed. Going on holiday has changed. People's health has changed. We can't get close to each other like we could. We can't hug, we can't kiss, we can't shake hands. By golly, life has changed. If you're like me, you must be looking at the future and recognising there's going to be more people with more need. More people are going to be jobless. More people are going to be homeless. More people are going to be helpless, hungry, depressed, lost, orphans. Someone said to Jesus once, didn't they, when did we see you hungry, naked, homeless, whatever? And we all know what his answer to that was. As has been hinted at this morning two or three times, we know that life is different. It will continue to change. There is no going back to life as it was in all its fullness. There is no way we're going back. There's now a challenge. Rosemary referred to this earlier in what she'd been thinking about on Friday. There's this challenge, an opportunity. There's a job for us all to do, a life to be lived. You can't move. The ground underneath our feet is moving. You cannot stand still. I don't believe, and I know you don't, that God is going to let me or you be as I was. He's changing me. He's changing you. Not just the circumstances, he's changing you. So how are you going to spend your time in the rest of 2020? And who are you going to spend your time with? What will you be talking about? Will you be talking a lot about faith, about Jesus, about Christianity? If so, who with? Because in my experience, I'm not talking about you now, I'm talking about me. In my experience, a lot of my Christian experience and my Christian conversation has been with Christians. I think the challenge is God is saying, I want you to do it with those who don't believe. I want you to talk with them. I want you to be with them. I want you to spend more time out of church than in church. So what do you want me to be doing, God? What are the actions? What do you want me to get moving on? Because I've got a to-do list. I like to-do lists. What shall I do with all this change? And Jesus gave me his to-do list. Nice and simple. It's all in one word. This is Jesus' to-do list. Come. Take. listen, watch, let go, abide, rest, ask, enter, cast, fight, follow, stay alert, be ready. I've heard here and in many other places, and I identify with it, and I agree it's a good question. What will church be like? After all, we've not been going to it for 5 months. I've not been going to church, as everyone talks about, for 5 months. So where will I be going? The more important question for me, and I hope for you, that determines the answer to what will church be like, is the more important one: what will I be like? If the vision for Oasis or any church is this, that and the other, but I've not been changed, then I'm not much used to it, really. I want to be changed and be more like Jesus. Then I'll be much better at fitting, as John reminded us then about fitting. I want to be the right stone in the right place at the right time, not picking me up and then God thinking, oh, hang on, no, more work needs to be done on this stone. I want to be ready. I want to be like him. So I'll leave you with this. Picture God watching Channel 3, your television, you. He's watching what you've been up to. What do you think? Imagine God's going to be looking at Christmas on Channel 3, on your channel. Don't know about you, but I hope he looks at my Channel 3, smiles, has a bit of a laugh, and says, well done, son. I'm well pleased. Amen.